Anthony's. I met David in the gym at St. Anthony's. That Tuesday night ministry, when I tell you about it, I talk to you about it, it means more than just an event. It means a friendship for life. I believe that the last 2 years we've grown close. Rob's kind of in the background. He's laying low this morning. Don't put me on the spot, Ryan. But Rob and David have become very dear friends to mine and many other men in the body here this morning. So I'm thankful for you guys. Amen? Amen. Well, let's go to work. I want to talk to you this morning about something. Thank you so much, Andy. Give Andy a hand, will you, this morning? In Genesis 15, the Bible says that Abraham believed, and it was counted unto him as righteousness. And what God is most concerned about is belief. Belief is a state of mind or a habit of mind in which trust or confidence is placed in a person or a thing. The word of God is important. Believing in him is important. And I believe this is a prophetic word for many in the room. What the word actually is meaning, it says, I know that you fell short. I know that you don't meet the mark. I know that you're messed up. Any messed up people in the place this morning, come on, just wave at me. I know that you're not perfect, but here's what I'm going to tell you, God says. If you believe in me, I'll make up the difference between how you act crazy and how you act a fool and what you believe. So the Bible says it's important that you work on your belief system. And I tell people all the time, that's why I come here on Sunday morning. Because I'm not perfect, because I don't have it all together. And I need you to help me believe just a little bit more every Sunday. Can I get one amen this morning? And that's the problem with judging people. That's the problem with pointing a finger at people. That's the problem with condemning people, because you don't understand what their belief system is. So they could have messed up. They could have made a mistake. They could have done wrong. But God says they believe in me so much that I make up the difference on what they did, what they said, how they handled themselves. I make up the difference with belief. Man, that's good. So I'll make up the difference between how you act and what you believe. Abraham believed, and it was counted unto him as righteousness. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. See, we give the Lord works. Let me do this. Let me put a big Bible in my hand. Carry it around like a rock. Let me put some stickers on my car. I'll do all these things. But the problem is, that's not what God's looking for. He's looking for us to believe in him, to trust in him, to have our confidence in him. And he said all that stuff that the world says that you need to do to be loved and be accepted and all those things, I'll make it up if you'll just believe in me. It's that simple. The enemy does everything he can to rip down your belief system, to destroy your belief system. I'm talking about believing in God. That is number one. Say number one is believing in God. But I'm also talking about believing in yourself. Paul said in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I can do all things. But do we believe it? The subject this morning, the title, the topic that we'll talk on, believe in God, but believe in yourself. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask you to do what you do so well. Move among us, Lord. Make the change within us that you see fit. In Jesus' name. Wouldn't you walk around different if you believe that? I can do all things. Wouldn't you stop worrying about the smallest things if you really believe that? Would you stop living in fear and receive it differently if you really engage the subject? I can do all things. Could you imagine a job interview where you walked into the job interview and the guy was sitting in front of you and he said, "What can you do, Ryan? What can you do, Rob? What can you do, David?" And you look back at him and said, "I can do all things." That's what God is looking for the level of devil that we fight. One of the great privileges of my life and being a pastor's kid is interacting with great men and women of God. Last Thursday, I was just, my breath was taken away being around among wonderful men of God. The Pastor Jerry Gillis of the great church at the chapel at Cross Point, some 6,000-7,000 people. He's on TV this morning, sat in these pews. And being around men of God like that, I try to analyze, try to pick up what they do, how they talk, how they believe. And one common denominator in all those men of God, all those women of God, one thing, they believe in themselves. They walk in confidence. I'm not talking about arrogance. I'm not talking about being full of yourself. I'm talking about a confidence in who God is and what He is in our lives. They walk in confidence. My question for you this morning, do you walk in that confidence? And I want to tell you, I have yet to meet one great woman or man of God that is more gifted and talented than anyone in this room. Not one. Well, Ryan, I just don't measure. I'm telling you, I've talked to you and I've talked to them. I've interacted with them. I've interacted with you. The only difference is what they believe about themselves. Isn't that profound? Doesn't that make you want to look at yourself in the mirror and declare things over your own life differently than maybe you have in the past? Great men and women of God, you'll never hear them say demeaning statements even about themselves. People aren't more blessed because they have more. Life is an equal opportunity experience. You come into the world, boom, with nothing. T.D. Jakes said, the great African-American preacher of Texas, he said, "What you do with what God gave you is up to you. The guy sitting beside you has no more than you do." The Word of God says that we have all been given the same measure of faith. We all have the same stuff. Great ministers, not so great ministers. Great men of God, maybe not so great men of God. We all have the same stuff. We have all been given the same measure of faith. So away with these so-called superhero Christians that say, "My faith is greater than yours. My ability is great." Have you ever heard anything like that in church? "I have more than you have inside." That's not true. Because if your salvation is based on belief, how could God give the one guy one thing and the other guy something else? It's not true. It's not true. Our faith is given in the same measure. That's good news this morning. I want you to understand. I want you to realize. I want you to know that Moses is who I will talk about and make reference to this morning. A man that was meant to shake the nations. A man that was meant to sit with kings. Called to lead millions of people out of deliverance. Handle billions of dollars. A man that would be revered amongst all other men. But at the time we meet him in this text, he is a runaway criminal in the Word, hiding in the woods in the dark, scared for his life. How could you have such great destiny and be in such a horrible situation. I want you to know this morning, you might be in the darkest hour of your life. You might say, Ryan, you have no idea. I'm facing prison time. I'm broke. I'm on the brink of bankruptcy. I'm at the worst point of my life. I want you to know this morning. I want to leave this impression on your heart, on your spirit this morning, that where you are today does not define where you will be. Where you are today does not define what God has for you. Where you are today does not leave an impression that dooms over your life forever. The destiny that God has for you. We should start looking at every negative situation and saying, you're a liar. I remember my mother called me. She was diagnosed with cancer. Garrett talks about miracles. The first miracle that comes to my mind is my mom goes in and asks the doctor, can I have a mammogram? The doctor told her, no. You can't have one. You just had one 2 years ago. You'll have to pay for it. She said, if you know my mother well enough, she said, I'll pay for the mammogram. I'm going to have it if I want to have it. So she went in and had the mammogram. They found a pea-sized tumor, piece of cancer. It was a pea-sized. She called me up on the phone. I'll never forget where I was. I'll never forget the words that she spoke to me. Miracle worker calls me up and says, I have cancer. When you hear those words out of your mother, oh, it rips your guts out. But I went back to what my parents had taught us, what they had instilled in us. I hung up the phone. I said, devil, you're a liar. Every negative situation, every scheme of the enemy, every seed that's sown that's against contrary to the word of God, you have to look at it and say, you're a liar. I don't believe you, Satan. I remember when my brother Ben called me, or Amanda called me. It was a Thursday night, I believe. He had a stroke. Amanda said, he was foaming from his mouth. He collapsed on the floor. I didn't know what else to do. I called the ambulance. I drove over to that place. If a policeman had seen me, I'd be in the... Hi, how you doing? I drove over to that place. My dad come walking in, and I could hear my dad. Devil, you're a liar. You won't take my son. I believe life. I don't believe death in Jesus' name. Every negative situation, you put your situation in the queue, in the computer screen of your mind right now. You have to tell the enemy. You have to declare over your kids. You have to declare over your future. You have to declare over your destiny. I don't believe you, Satan. I believe God's word for my life. Can't learn? You're a liar. Can't read? You're a liar. Can't keep a job? You're a liar. Can't own a home? You're a liar. Can't be a pastor? You're a liar. Every negative word that's ever been spoken over you, you have to break it. You have to break it. You have to speak faith words over your own life. You have to. Ever hear the voice in your own mind that says, you'll never be enough? You're a liar. You're going to have a nervous breakdown. You're a liar. The Bible says, let God be true and every man be a liar. I love that. When I was just a boy, there was a member in the church, and it's been long enough now so I can share it. This woman came in my dad's office. She set up an appointment, and I just happened to be there. She came into that appointment, and she said, Pastor Marty, I feel the Lord has called me to lead worship. Now, let me just tell you something. I'm not the greatest singer. Garrett's a great singer. I'm not the greatest, but I can kind of fumble my way through. This woman couldn't hold a key if it was in her hand. And she said, I'm supposed to be the worship leader. And here's what she said. Catch this right now. She said, if you don't let me be the worship leader, I'm going to leave the church. And when I leave the church, I'm going to take most of the church with me. Anybody ever said anything like that? If you don't do it my way, how I think you should do it, I'm going to leave your life and you're not going to have anything left. Ever had anybody tell you anything like that? I remember I was in the seventh grade. I was in class, and this woman got upset with me. I just couldn't understand. You ever been there? You just couldn't quite get it at the moment. Some of you feel like that right now. You're getting there. You'll be coming. She looked at me and she said, you can't learn. You can't this. You can't that. And my dad, actually, up to about a year ago, He thought I walked out of the class. I didn't walk out of the class. I looked at that woman and I told her, "You're a liar," and she threw me out of that class. Here's my point. If you believe what people declare over your life, you'll receive it as fruit. Hello. Let me just say that again for somebody. You ever had somebody speak words like that over you? If you receive it, that's why you have to be careful how you talk to your kids. Because your kids are trained from an age, from a young age, to believe everything you say. So when you call your son a knucklehead, guess what? He's going to think he's a knucklehead. If you call your kid stupid, he's going to think he's stupid. Careful with the little ones. That's why Jesus said, "Bring them unto me." You can't receive what people declare over you because it will bring fruit in your life. You know what, that woman, she left the church. Nobody left with her. Nobody left with her. That woman that said those things to me in that class, I thank God in Jesus' name that I didn't receive a thing of that. In fact, let me just tell you a little testimony. Last week, I got a letter from the president of Elam Bible College. He said, he wrote me a letter. I sent it to my brothers, my family. I don't have the time to read it this morning, but you know what he said to me? He said all these wonderful things, and at the end of it, he said, "We would like to ask you, Mr. McDonald, if you come to our college and if we could hire you to consult our college." What? This kid? Me? I swear I looked at it like four or five times and read to make sure it was my letter. I want to see the name. It's got to be Garrett. It has to be. If I received the things that teacher said over me, it would have brought fruit. My father and mother taught us enough when we were kids. Don't you believe that? Oh, you ain't really seen my mother. She's a spitfire. So I said all that to say this. If you believe the things that people speak over you, they will bring fruit into your life. Every time somebody tells you who you can't be, get rid of it. So here's what's been happening in my life. I've been trying to figure out, are leaders born or are they made? Do they just arrive on earth exceptional, or do they become exceptional by the things they face, by the things they suffer? So I started looking at the greatest pastor leader of the Old Testament. He was pretty messed up. I mean, if I was God, I wouldn't pick Moses. He murdered a man. He lied about it. He ran out of his own house. He ran away. And we meet him in the scriptures in Exodus 3. And Jesus begins to lay his hand on his life. Check this out. Moses was hidden in the dark as a boy, covered in blankets, hidden away. His identity was hidden. His purpose was hidden. His mother hid him in underneath the sink. He wasn't loved in a normal way. He wasn't nurtured in a normal way. So all the kids, all the people, young and old in this room, you weren't raised in a normal way. I've got some hope for you in God's word this morning. His early months in his house, his mother put him in a basket. Then she ended up sending him down a river. He was adopted by he was an Egyptian by situation, a Hebrew by birth. That's confusing enough. What culture, what religion, what God, what ceremony? He was like a mutt. His name, Moses. Do you know the definition? Do you know what it means? It means to be drawn out. And I think if there's greatness inside of you, young man, young woman, it has to be drawn out. You are in the right place for greatness to be drawn out. There's greatness like Moses hidden in here. There's preachers. There's politicians in the room. There's doctors in the room. There's teachers in the room. There is greatness in this room. Some people, greatness is drawn out by being around the right people. That's why it's so tough to change the people who you hang with. That's why it's so difficult for you to engage a different mindset of people. You've been around the same negative type of person all along the way, and then all of a sudden you say, "I'm done with that." But all of a sudden you find yourself being pulled between two worlds because your greatness will be extracted by great people. Ooh, that's good. He ends up with a group of people called the Midianites. They thought he was Egyptian, but he was a Hebrew. Sometimes you hook up with people and you become who they are. Not because you want to, not because you want to trick them, but because you don't know who you are. So you'll just become whatever they tell you you are. Because you're insecure. Because you're vulnerable. Because you're not sure who exactly you are. But you got to keep working on it. I'm working on it right now. The reason I get up in the morning, the reason I walk into church is because I'm working on it. I'm getting a little bit better. I'm getting around the right people. I'm hearing the right things. I'm hearing these worship songs. He's a way maker. I'm changing who I am. I'm working on it. And he gives this assignment to Moses, a guy running and hiding. He gave it to a guy that was still confused, vulnerable, and insecure. He was intimidated. He gave it to a guy who could barely speak. Put Exodus up there, would you, Paul? Check this out. But Moses protests again. What if they don't believe me or listen to me? Bear with me a second. What if they say the Lord never appeared to you? Then the Lord asked him, what is in your hand? And the shepherd's staff, Moses said. Throw it down on the ground, the Lord told them. So Moses threw the staff down and it turned into a snake. And Moses jumped back. Then the Lord told him, reach out and grab it by the tail. So Moses reached out and grabbed it by the tail and it turned into a shepherd's staff. I want to stop there for just a second. And I want to process this. Can we process it just for a minute? Number one, Moses says, they won't believe me. And I'm speaking this into someone's spirit right now. I hope you receive the word of the Lord. Is it really that they won't believe you or that you don't believe you? Your they might be you in disguise. They won't embrace me. They don't love me. They don't accept me. They won't use me. I'm not like them. I don't know. They don't care for me. They treat me a certain kind of way. Your they might be you in disguise. Only you know. I can tell you that's true in my life. Number two. Say number two. What is in your hand? God doesn't even respond to Moses. They won't believe me, God. They don't let. He doesn't even give light to that. He says, what do you have, Moses? What do you have in your hand? He says, God, I got this piece of wood in my hand. See, you think it's nothing. I think this is nothing. I think what I have is nothing. You think what you have is absolutely nothing. Don't we think that way? And God says, what's in your hand? What do you have in your possession that God could use tomorrow? I think of Tuesday night. I think of all the wonderful people on Tuesday night. We had 25 volunteers last Tuesday. Who would have thought? It's because a group of people know that they have something to offer to a hurting, broken world. What is in your hand? Hallelujah. The rattlesnake that Moses had might not be a rattlesnake in your life. It might be helping. It might be serving. It might be taking a new job. Pick it up. Pick it up scared. Pick it up nervous. Pick it up intimidated. Pick it up unsure. It will only turn into a rod when you pick it up. I love that. God, this isn't how God works. This is how we work. We say to God, hey, God, I got a hold of it right here. I got my thing right here. If you turn it into a rattlesnake right now, I'll believe it's you. That's not how God works. God says, throw it on the ground. And then go and grab it by the tail and pick it up. Grab the thing that you feared the most. Grab the thing that you've ran from. Remember, the word said Moses fled from it. He ran away from, he was scared. How many of you have been scared of what God's been calling you to do? Come on, wave at me. There's a few hands. You've been deathly afraid. God could use you in a profound way, but you fled from it time and time again. It's a call to action. Take it by the tail. The snake God's asking you to grab might not be a rattlesnake. You know what it is. I love this. Point four, that they may believe that the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has appeared to you. And listen to this. It shall be then that if they do not believe these signs, they'll listen to your voice. You know what God's telling them? He's telling them, I'm going to perform these miracles through you, Moses. I'm going to turn your hand leprous and then pull it out and it's going to be healed. I'm going to use your staff. You're going to throw it on the ground. It's going to turn into a snake. You're going to pick it up. Fantastic miracles, right? Right? You know what he says? Here's your last line of defense. Your voice. God, my voice. My stuttering voice. I can't speak. Here's what he's saying to Moses. I'm going to take the weakest part of you and do the biggest miracle through you. You know what I'd be looking for if I was you? I'd be looking for the thing you're most scared of. To me, this thing right here is the thing I was most afraid of. To pick up a mic, to stand in front of people. Whatever you're most afraid of is what God will use you to bless you the most. Take it by the tail and let God use it in an awesome way. If they don't believe in the rod, if they don't believe in the serpent, if they don't believe in your hand, they'll believe your voice. God is all along, and I'm finishing, all along, he's challenging what Moses believes. And so am I this morning. I'm not talking about what we say. Oh, bless the Lord, sir. It's so wonderful to see you. Bless the Lord, sister. Give me a heavenly hug. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what you believe in your heart. What happens when you go to bed? What happens when you lay down and close your eyes at the end of the night? What do you believe in your heart and your spirit about yourself? Look what Moses believed about himself. He believed that he couldn't do it. What do you believe about yourself? So I said to the Lord, I said exactly this. How do I challenge our belief? God said to me, faith of any kind comes by hearing. You don't believe me? You never believed you were dumb until someone said you were dumb. You never believed you couldn't learn until someone said you couldn't learn. You never believed you were ugly until someone told you that. You didn't believe you couldn't be a pastor until someone said, you're not qualified. You never believed that you couldn't hold a job until someone declared those words over your life. You never believed you couldn't be a good father until someone told you that. These things that people declare over our lives, they become our actual mission statements. Your unbelief is a result of something you heard or something someone told you about yourself that you believed. You tried to tell, oh, I don't believe you. I don't believe what you said. But tell me the truth. Tell me the truth right now by a show of hands. When you get to a low point, when you get to a place of discouragement, when you get to a point where you got some pressure on you, don't them voices come back up? Wave at me, don't they? They come back to the surface. Faith of any kind comes by hearing. This morning, I've come to challenge your beliefs. I've come to challenge my own beliefs. I've had to speak into my life. This past year, I've been attacked and attacked. I can't even tell you the attacks that have come. I can't even get into them up here. I need them to become more of a testimony. Give me a little bit more time. And there's people in here, you feel the same exact way. You begin to walk in your destiny. You begin to usher. You begin to sing. You begin to serve on Tuesday nights. And all of a sudden, all of hell came after you. And hell came at you by the form of people. I want to pray for three things this morning. Can we do that? Three things that the Holy Spirit laid on my heart. Believing in God first. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, would you close your eyes right now? If you say, Ryan, I don't even know Jesus. Who's Jesus? Jesus died for you. He died for me. He died for your sins. He made a way so when you leave this earth, when you leave this place, when your time comes, you have a place in heaven. This morning, I challenge you. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, no one looking around, every eye closed in this place, just slip your hand up to the Lord. It's just me and Him looking. Number two. Believing in yourself. I can do all things, Paul said. Believing in God is not enough. You have to believe in you. And number three, we must stop believing the horrible things that have been said to us or spoken over us. If that's you this morning, you just say, Ryan, I know exactly what you're talking about. This message is for me. Just slip your hand up. Look at the hands all over the place. If that's for you, just lift your hand. There's hands all over this place. Here's what I'm going to do. You want to raise your hand because we're going to break it by the power of the Holy Spirit. Those thoughts, those voices, I believe in the name of Jesus, the Waymaker is going to make the difference this morning. Lift your hand to the Lord and say, that's me. I need God's touch in my life. I need His healing in my life from my childhood, from my past, from an old relationship. I can't handle it anymore. I'm tired of the voices of the enemy. Father, in Jesus' name, you see all these hands. I don't even know how many hands. Hands all over this place. I break by the power of the Holy Ghost every negative word that's ever been spoken, and I declare in the name of Jesus your goodness and your grace. Thank you for it. Thank you for it. Thank you for it. Open your eyes. I want to take it one step further. Garrett, if you'd go up. Ben, if you'd go up. I want you to softly sing this. I want to do one more thing before we leave this morning. I want to declare God's faith and His goodness over your life. I want to sow seeds maybe you've never had sown into your heart before. Maybe only two stand right now. I'm going to do it. If 30 or 40 of you stand, I'm just going to do a general call. Stand up. A bunch of you raised your hand. Let me declare it over you. You know why I can be a little more pushy like that? Because you don't pay me, so I don't care. I declare God's goodness over you. I declare His best over you. You are a daughter of the King. You are a son of the King. You are a daughter of the King. You are a daughter of the King. You are chosen. You are a chosen generation. Like Jacob, they declared all kinds of things over him as a child. And God said, your name is not Jacob. Your name is Israel because you are a prince. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I declare over you, all you men up in the middle there, I declare God's goodness. Kurt, Sarah, I declare God's goodness over you in the name of Jesus. All of you guys, thank God that you're here. Thank God that you're in this place. A new chapter has been written. A new destiny has been formed. A new purpose has been seen in the mighty name of Jesus. Joe, in the mighty name of Jesus, we believe for God's goodness over your life. We believe for clear thoughts and clear ideas and just a turn in your life in the mighty name of Jesus. Every person in this place, we declare God's goodness. We declare God's grace in the mighty name of Jesus. Would you say amen? I'm going to stand up here. A few of the prayer people, come up here. Help me. If you need prayer this morning, you say, Ryan, I need someone to specifically agree with me. Let me just say, you're looking at a dude. There's nobody in this place that had a worser bringing up than this guy, than Chris over here. Let them declare the goodness of God. They've made such a fantastic turn. Some of you need that. I love you this morning. I declare God's blessing over your life. If you need prayer this morning, make your way to the front. God bless you. We love you. We'll see you soon. This is how